In Paul's time, the very mention of Rome struck a varied number of emotions. It struck fear because it meant military might and supremacy. It struck bitterness, for it was a hard and a cruel master to its vassal states and to the many millions of slaves that were put into hard labor in the vast commerce of Rome and all its endeavors. To some, it created a thrill of wonder, because the city of Rome was the wonder of the world.
And welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, minister of our Free Presbyterian Church. Our Bible verse for today is Psalm 65 and verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. The blessed man, who is he? It is the one whom God chooses and whom God draws to seek him, that he may dwell in thy courts. This is the man that we want to promote, the man who is blessed of God and who has this right attitude of entering into the courts of the Lord. Join with us now in prayer as we open our program together. Father, we thank thee that thou art on the throne. You are calling and choosing and drawing men to seek thee. We pray that in this time of worship and ministry of thy word, that men will truly seek thee, and thou wilt seek them and draw them by thy Spirit to a right relationship and right faith in thee. Bless thy word, bless thy people. We ask in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. Today we're commencing a study of the Apostle Paul. After breaking off for a few months, we come back to it. And I trust the Lord will stir and bless your heart as we look at God's servant seeking God's will. In Acts chapter 19, he said, I must see Rome. This Apostle of the Gentiles knew that Rome was the heart of his future mission. And while he did not know all that lay before him there, yet he knew that is where the HQ of the New Testament church must be based. So I trust that today the Lord will minister to our hearts as we open the scriptures, Acts chapter 19.
I bring you to that last verse we read together in Acts 19, verse 21. To those last few words where Paul said, I must also see Rome. I must also see Rome. In Paul's time, the very mention of Rome struck a varied number of emotions. It struck fear because it meant military might and supremacy. It struck bitterness, for it was a hard and a cruel master to its vassal states and to the many millions of slaves that were put into hard labor in the vast commerce of Rome and all its endeavors. To some, it created a thrill of wonder, because the city of Rome was the wonder of the world. Not this summer 2006, but 2005, when I was visiting back in Northern Ireland, my brother-in-law showed me some pictures from his visit to the city of Rome. Now, I've never been there. I've read this and that, and I've looked in books and so on. But he brought me his very own pictures with himself and my sister Adele standing at some of these great ancient sites. And it struck me the sheer majesty, the size of the ancient architecture of Rome that is now 2,000 years old. It is a wonder to this day. And of course, tourism is big because many people want to go and visit those places. Now, there are many other cities in the world that boast of their architecture, of their art and their history and so on. Rome is no longer the only city of the world that can boast of these things. But in Paul's day, it really was the only city that could boast of such great majestic things. Greek cities were virtually in ruins, but Rome was a growing, flourishing city. It was, in reality, a Mecca. It was a power base. It was a headquarters for all the dreams and the hopes of anybody that had Roman heritage and Roman citizenship. It was the greatest socio-political power in the known world. And so to anyone who had Roman status and standing, it did strike a certain thrill of heart. Now, Paul's interest in going to the city of Rome was really long-standing. What he is uttering here, that he must see Rome, was not his first intention. And if you turn with me to Romans 15, and I'll ask you to keep a marker in this chapter because we're going to be coming to this again. But if you notice chapter 15 and verse 23, that this was a desire, a long-standing desire in Paul's heart for a long time. But now, having no more place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come and see you. These many years. Paul has not yet arrived in Rome. He has been preoccupied. He's been busy with many things. And for years, he's had this desire. Perhaps it was hatched in school. Paul was a very well-educated young man. He was a Roman citizen. He would have been taught in Roman law. He would have been taught in Roman literature. He would have met some of the leading Roman statesmen who would have imbued into his very life the very spirit of Rome. But then he met some other people more recently. Back in Acts chapter 18, he met a couple called Priscilla and Aquila. They were tent makers, and so was Paul. They sort of set up home business together, and they spent considerable time together. And Priscilla and Aquila had been put out of Rome in that great deportation of Jews, when Claudius had decided that all Jews must leave Rome. And Paul was introduced to this couple, Priscilla and Aquila. Their hearts were breaking for Rome. Everything they knew was Roman. Their nostalgic feelings for Rome must have flowed from them when they talked to Paul about that great city. A city with flourishing ideas. A city that was fomenting with all the new concepts of politics and social ideas. Paul would have heard this from true Romans. Jews, yes, converts to Christianity, but still homebirds for Rome. And this desire that he one day might see this was therefore long-standing and very natural. But I want you to also see that this desire of Paul was sanctioned by God. It wasn't just merely a boyish dream. It wasn't merely a tourist idea that he must go and visit and see these great sights, but it was sanctioned by God. We must realize that Paul was the missionary to the Gentiles. And even at his conversion, it was revealed to him that God would have Paul to suffer many things, that he might take the gospel to the Gentiles. And that never left him. That never left him. In Jerusalem, when he was under threat, he realized that he was an apostle to the Gentiles. And later, on a ship in the storm, if you come to Acts 27, you'll find Acts 27, 24, that Paul again has this sanctioned, that he's going to Rome with God's commission. The Lord appears to him in the midst of this shipwreck storm, saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." So there is, in Paul's view and yearning, longing to see this city, the hand of God at work in it. And we must see something of this man of purpose in this text and in this determination to go and see Rome.
Here I am, Lord, is it I?
the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. We're dealing here with the will of God for the Christian. We're looking at Paul's statement, I must see Rome. And in that there is the direct challenge to every Christian to be sure that we are in the will of God. Are you certain that you are going in God's way? Is there a challenge, a door the Lord is opening before you? And are you willing and ready to go? I trust the second part of this message today will answer these questions, give you direction, and lead us all into the center of His will. Stay tuned with us now as we turn again to the pulpit ministry of our church here in Cloverdale.
Now, to bring this down to personal relevancy and application tonight, perhaps there is a Rome in your life in this year or in the near future. Perhaps there is that place, there is that work, there is that position that God has ordained and in mind for you. He puts the seed thoughts of it within your heart. He puts the dream of it within your heart. The reality is not there yet. But there will come a time, or perhaps it has already come, when you have to say within your own soul, I must. And whatever your Rome is, I must see or go and do the will of God. You have a way to serve God and do His will, and you become a man of purpose. And I want you to see Paul here as this man of purpose. He's not just drifting. He's not just going along with the flow and say, well, wherever it takes me. He says, I must see Rome. He's a man of purpose. Now, as I look at this life of Paul, and as I said, I'm really not so interested in looking at every individual verse and giving you the meaning of each term and statement. I want to take a look at the man. I want to take a look at what makes him and shakes him. Because he's a man of God, a man that we need to learn from as we would serve God in our day. And I see here that a man of purpose builds upon past victories. If you look at verse 21, in Acts 19, you'll notice that it says, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit. After these things were ended. Now, the things which took place in Ephesus, we've really dealt with a number of them. Well, it's been a while, so we just want to run down and see just what has recently happened. In verse 8 of this chapter, he was in the synagogue at Ephesus. In verse 9, such was the hostility and the opposition to the gospel that it was necessary to separate. He brought the believers out, separated them in the school of a man called Tyrannus. Then in verse 10, you'll notice that he continued there for 2 years. Verse 13, that was not just an easy picnic. The devil attacked. In verse 13, there was satanic opposition. But the gospel got the victory. And down in verse 19, you read there about the book burning. When there were books of sorcery, 50,000 silver coins worth that were burned and put away. And verse 20 says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. The gospel got a root, got a hold in the city of Ephesus, a city of awful idolatry. And Paul continued there long enough and saw the gospel grow sufficiently that he could say, in a sense, that his work was done. And yes, a man of purpose builds upon the victories of the past. Paul was an overcomer in the fiery furnace in Ephesus. It was no easy place to be ministering and preaching the gospel. Hell broke out against him, and he kept faithful, and he proved the power of God. But a man of purpose cannot sit still. He cannot say, we have won the battle, we've gotten the victory, it's over. He cannot sit still. Now, some people are fearful of new things. Some are fearful of service in the Lord's church. Some are fearful of doing something different. And no doubt Rome would be the ultimate challenge. If hell would break out in Ephesus and the fiery oppositions of darkness would be experienced there, what might he face in Rome? But of course, if you can trust God and prove God in one place, then you can surely prove God in the next place. I want to tell you a story of Napoleon Bonaparte. There were certain officers of his army that recommended a young soldier for military commendation because of a very certain act of brilliancy and bravery that he performed in battle. And they brought Napoleon along to decorate and honor him. And they recommended him for very high promotion. When Napoleon was approached on this and informed of what he had done, Napoleon says, well, what all has he done? And then his next question, all right, that's what he did that day. What did he do the next day? There are two kinds of people in the world. There are those who perform short, sharp, sudden acts of service, and it's over. And there are others whom you can depend upon that they will be steady and steadfast in every situation. It is those that get the Lord's work done in the long term. A man of purpose is the man who's not just brilliant once, daring once, but who can be depended upon and whom you can lean upon as a faithful, steadfast soldier of the Lord. And Paul knew that his work was not maybe done in one place, but as the apostle of the Gentiles, he said, I must now see Rome.
All to Jesus I surrender. Spirit, truly know thy
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I count it a great privilege to bring the Lord's Word to you each and every day. And I trust that you'll be with us here Monday to Friday, 5 and 5, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. here on this station as we let the Bible speak from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale, British Columbia. Now, I want to exhort you to send for our Bible study notes. This is a weekly Bible study that we put out, and we have a series ongoing on Genesis, God's Book of Beginnings, and it's a vital book to study. If you haven't studied the book of Genesis, you really haven't studied the Bible. It is the book of origins, and in this Genesis record, we have many foundational things to study. And I want you to get these notes. You can use them for your own personal Bible study, a family Bible study, or a group Bible study. And I want to encourage Christians, wherever you are, to get into the Word. So you can do this by signing up at our website newsletter, and you will get these notes every week by email, and they will be logged and archived on the site that you can go and download at any time. Just go to www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And of course, our church services here, we want to invite you along Sundays 10:30 and 6. Also to join us by webcast at these times, Sundays 10:30 and 6, on our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. Thank you for listening to Let the Bible Speak today.